This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
We're going to talk to Tad about a couple of places he's been. Israel's one of the most recent. So yes. Shabbat Shalom. Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting me to come in.
You're very welcome. And Israel is one of those fascinating countries, which is the only democracy in the Middle East.
Yep.
It's very controversial. There's all the BDS movement, which is about boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel because some people consider it a apartheid state.
Yep.
It has a lot of positive gay rights, but it's also got a lot of conservatism. So it's a fascinating country for LGBTI travellers to go to. So, Tad, what made you go there? Was it Ofra Hazar's song?
Well, because she's considered the Madonna of Israel, so, but
of course,
that wasn't the reason.
Of course, Ted, do your research.
Somebody did.
No,
Israel's one of those places I've always wanted to go to. I mean, being raised Roman Catholic, I'm not necessarily religious now, but obviously it's one of those places that is full of the history of not just, you know, Christianity, but, you know, Judaism and the Islam, Muslim, you know, it entails everything like that. And so I've always wanted to go, but unfortunately, Israel's not someplace that's on the way anywhere. You have to sort of go somewhere else before you can get there because of the fact that there's no direct flights, from Melbourne. And, so I just thought, you know, this is my year of taking care of myself and doing the things I want to do and decided I'm going to go. And, so did that. And,
you went with a friend, which is helpful because,
good friend of mine, a partner in crime. So good.
Take us through now. When I travelled, I went by bus from Jordan and I was living in the UAE at the time, which is an Arab country. And it's quite a common thing. You go through from there. You can't fly directly from Dubai, but you can fly into Jordan, catch a bus down. Most people go and see Petra and do other things and then take the King Hussein Bridge over into Israel. And it's just a bus from one side to the other. It was quite interesting because I was travelling with a lot of other people who were catching a bus, which is not your most affluent traveller.
No,
And so security was really tight, but I think they made it tighter for you.
Look, they did.
Talk us through your experience into Israel.
I'll preface this by saying that had I known ahead of time when I booked my tickets that this was a possibility, that could happen to you while you're travelling into Israel, I probably would not have been as worked up over it. And I understand the need for security because I want to be safe. I want everyone else to be safe. I get that. But I'm not mentioning any names or anything like that today. But, you know, basically my flight went from Melbourne to Bangkok, was on the ground in Bangkok for 8 hours at the airport, never left. And then the flight to Tel Aviv left at about 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night. So you're told to get to the gate about 2 hours ahead of time, did that. Queued, and basically we were pulled aside and had the hell grilled out of us. Like literally numerous times I just asked the question, do I need to call the embassy? Because there's something either you've got wrong or you think I've done something and I haven't. I'm feeling threatened here. I kind of need to get some help, I think.
So this is in Bangkok Airport?
At Bangkok Airport, So, and this is when you go and you hand your boarding pass into the
So you're onboarding at the moment?
The flight's boarding, And basically was taken to an area underneath the terminal. My friend and I were separated.
Not imposing at all?
No, exactly. My friend and I were separated, was told that they would have to go through all our hand luggage and all our baggage. We were not allowed to be present when they did that.
Were they Israeli officers or were they Thai?
Both. So there was Israeli security, airline security, and also the Bangkok security people.
Right.
So, but I had no idea who was who. And basically just had to let it happen, you know, and I'm sitting here thinking Chappelle Corby, you know, they're going to plant something in there. You don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things.
20 kilograms of pot you had in your booty bag.
You know, no, but you know what I mean? Like you just don't, those are the things that go through your head when this is happening to you, because you think, you know, I'm a dual passport holder. My friend's a dual passport holder. It was the first time we were both going to Israel. The question they asked was, over and over, in between other questions, was, you know, why do you want to come to Israel? And it's for a holiday. And you know, I answered that three times and said, look, if I'm not giving you the answer you're looking for, I don't understand the question. You know, it's a holiday, it's a vacation. What else, what other way do you want me to put it, you know? Then they ask if you've ever been to Muslim countries, and, you know, I'm not going to lie, I have been. You know, I've been to Pakistan, Dubai, Malaysia, Indonesia. And then they start going on, well, do you have friends there? And it just goes on and on and on. In the end, we were cleared by the Israeli Security Services, which is the equivalent to the, like, the FBI in the United States.
Mossad.
Yeah. And then it was the airline security that wouldn't let us on the plane because they said we were too late. And I'm like, no, we're getting on that plane because this is your situation, not mine. I was here on time. We're getting on the plane. And fortunate enough, the Israeli security people actually backed us up for that and said, no, you need to let them on the plane. So that was all good. As daunting as that was, the minute we landed in Israel, that evaporated because the people were so incredible. And you felt incredibly safe in Israel. Like, you even saw police. I never really saw police
officers.
Jerusalem, yes, but in Tel Aviv, you didn't. And I actually felt a lot safer than in some of the streets of Melbourne, to be honest with you. And it was just the hospitality that we received from the locals. And it was just incredible. And that completely evaporated that experience. And I understand why it needs to be done, obviously. Yeah. But I just would have liked to have known about it ahead of time. In some way, that this is a possibility.
It was a funny counterpoint because when I was interview going through, because I was living in Dubai and I had a UAE residence permit, they offered me to put the Israeli stamp on a spare piece of paper so they didn't stamp my passport.
Well, interestingly enough, you can get two Australian passports.
So you can travel to Israel now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you can get two passports issued to you. Now I know
reasons.
That. Yeah, for that reason, because it's an issue.
Okay. Yeah. At the time, they just gave me my Israeli visa on a stamped piece of paper. They handwrote all my details from my passport and just put it in my passport. And they're actually quite quick about it because it's quite common for tourists to go in and out of Dubai. And they do a lot of diamond trade between Israel and Dubai. You have to fly through a third country.
Yeah.
But it's really quite popular. So the thing that made it easy for me is because it's quite common for
Dubai-based
expats to travel to Israel.
Yeah.
So it was a very normal path. So it was... They were tough, but I was just very honest with her and said, I just want to travel here. And she was fine. And she said, okay, I won't make you wait for the next bus because there's another 45 minutes. You better hurry up. And it was like, okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah, and I guess the other part of that, which is a bit annoying.
But your experience in Bangkok seems really drawn
extreme.
Out.
Yeah, and the annoying part was that obviously our luggage didn't travel with us. So that didn't catch up to us until 48 hours later. And unfortunately, I'm assuming it was the courier who was hired to get the luggage to our hotel. And we had stuff missing. So a lot of valuable stuff missing because I had no, you know, there was carry-on stuff, which I was supposed to carry on the plane with me because it was valuable. They wouldn't let me. So it had to go. So
my guess with all of that is I'd certainly go back to the Australian Passport Immigration Department and ask why you were flagged. Because there's something in your travel history that they've decided that for whatever.
But the interesting thing is none of those countries other than Bali that were Muslim countries were in any of either my passports because those were so far in my past that I went to those. So they would have no idea.
Yeah. But there must be something.
Possibly, but they also do random testing as
they
do.
They do a lot of that these days.
Yeah.
And it's not because you're LBGTR travellers.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Tel Aviv Pride's coming up in June.
Yeah, no, it's not that at all. No. And that's the thing. Like, you know, after speaking to a lot of locals, you know, they said it happens to them. Mm. You know, there was a lady who we spoke to, and she said that she'd actually been, you know, she's a citizen and was strip searched.
Right.
So it's not being singled out. It's just a random thing, I think.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is the Fabulous Escape Hour. I'm here today, Russ Masterton, with Mark Adams, Stefan, Tess and Tad, who is our special guest, telling us all about Israel. Now, Tad, I have watched enough movies over the years, and I am a member of enough friendship groups in the world. Those Israeli men, goodness gracious me.
You've got no idea in person.
Don't. Should I clutch my pearls while you tell us the story? Thank you.
Whatever you need to clutch.
Yeah. Updated one, I know.
Oh, yes, you did. Did you?
No,
I have.
There's no one ugly in Israel.
Really? Okay.
Seriously. It's like, well, it's a gay mecca. I mean, and Tel Aviv especially.
It's like a lot of countries with very diverse, mixed communities where you've got so many people from so many different parts of the world, like Brazil or United States or Israel.
And it's interesting because...
A really unique beauty.
Yeah, and like depending on which city you went, like Tel Aviv is the Tel Aviv Council have gone out of their way to make sure that everybody's welcome. It's this open... sort of society thing. It's not necessarily that way in other parts of Israel, as far as like Jerusalem's a bit more conservative and things like that.
Yeah, the religion,
which is fair enough. Yeah, exactly. But in Tel Aviv, it was just like gay mecca. You know what I mean? It was just so welcoming and free, and it was just an incredible experience there. And again, the people were completely hospitable. The food is amazing. I mean, you've never had hummus unless you probably have, Mark. But
that's not necessarily an Israeli dish.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. But it the best I've ever had. Yep. You know, and other food is incredible. There's a lot of parallels to Melbourne with the street art, the cafes, the coffee, all done very, very well. And just an incredible vibe. You know, there's a what they call a gay beach, which is right outside of the Hilton Hotel, but pretty much the entire strip of Tel Aviv is pretty much gay friendly beach, and it's pretty incredible. We actually traveled to a secret gay beach, which I might tell you about later. Which not even Israelis know about it.
Oh, will you be ruining the secret though?
No, people need to know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe later. Anyway, it's about 30 minutes outside of,
I can't believe
Tel Aviv.
What that Dead Sea has done to your skin.
You have no idea.
I don't.
The Dead Sea is incredible. And that's another thing. If you ever go...
Is there anything like floating in that water is incredible, isn't it?
It was stunning. Mm. Stunning. And the mud and all that. And it was funny because you go there and obviously you see the photos already covered in the mud, right? And we're sitting there floating in the Dead Sea because you can't do anything else. You can't drown. It's impossible.
Yeah, like,
it's
just impossible. Yeah,
we did try. You couldn't. And
so you just did a bit of walking on water.
You can, and that's the whole thing. You know, that debunks a lot of mystery.
Right?
You know, and it's just interesting because on one side we're on the Israeli side, and across you see Jordan. That's the mountains of Jordan on the other side. And I hear this American tourist, because we were looking for it too, like, I don't see any mud. Where's the mud that we put on us, you know? And it was just not there. And she's like, where's the mud, you know? But you have to buy the mud. So
typical.
Yeah.
Because it comes from the south.
Yeah, exactly. And so you buy a couple bags of mud and you put that on you. But it does incredible stuff to your skin. It does. And then you keep it on for 15, 20 minutes and it dries. And then you wipe it off and it's just like, you don't have to moisturize for a while. It's pretty cool.
You can also get this stuff at every freaking airport concourse in the country. There's a couple of Israeli backpackers trying to flog it off.
Yeah, exactly. But
there's a kiosk thing. It's this big thing at the moment in airports.
But the Dead Sea was incredible. And it's just like this amazing, you know, the ride to it is incredible because you're just in this desert. It's everything you think it would be. It's pretty amazing.
So did you get a real sense of the religious and the spiritual importance of this part of the world?
I won't mention the hotel chain I stayed in, but I think I might have mentioned the beach earlier. Oops. But anyways. that's the name of the beach, though.
Yeah, how they named it.
Yeah, it's not my fault. Yeah.
Didn't tell people to go on.
No, that's right. But this particular hotel is a kosher hotel. And so there's things that you can do, you can't do. That was right before Passover. Actually, Passover started on the Friday. I think we were there. So
did you have to paint doors with lamb's blood so God knew which children to kill or not?
No, it wasn't quite. No, it was pretty strict, but to the point where there was no coffee. You know, you couldn't use coffee machines. All the coffee machines were shut down.
Why would they ban coffee? Why is that?
It's Passover. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not kosher.
It's a high holiday.
Yeah. They had also too with the with the Sabbath and all this sort of stuff, using the lifts. The lifts were organized in a way that I think they were voice activated or some way that people didn't have to touch the buttons.
Usually,
and
they,
I see. Just so you've got coffee machines, and machines aren't allowed to be used.
That's right.
Got it.
Yeah, and the food would change as well. Like in the executive lounge, there is food that you could have and you couldn't have. So,
milkshake and flashes. You can't mix dairy with meat.
Yeah.
So you can't have milkshake with flashes. It's one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a divider between.
So it was interesting.
Cheese or
that's fabulous.
Yeah. So but you could go out of the hotel, this particular hotel. And get anything, you know what I mean, at any time of the day. And the other thing I quite liked about Tel Aviv, and it's actually different to Melbourne, that it's 24 hours. Mm. You can go and get a proper coffee at any time, and I'm sure there's a few places in Melbourne like that, but a lot of places do tend to close. 24 hours a day, that place is going. And it was just really fascinating. And, you know, growing up and, you know, hearing what we hear in the media about Israel and that sort of thing, every misconception I had was a misconception. And it was nice to go and experience it for myself.
So Israel's quite interesting because they're two biggest cities between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. Yep. They're only about 70 kilometers apart. Yes. One of the world's newest large cities, Tel Aviv, yep, which I think it was 1930-something when it was first... desert, and
or even later, 48 maybe.
No, it was before the Balfour.
Was it before 48? Okay,
and then Jerusalem being one of the most ancient cities in the world, and Jerusalem has a very different vibe to it than Tel Aviv,
it does,
or Bethlehem, or any of the other cities. Did you go and do the Stations of the Cross and the Via della Rosa?
No.
Oh.
No.
I was setting
no,
you up
didn't do that. Really good. No, I mean, I literally had one day in Jerusalem. Yep. So went to the Holocaust Museum and spent a fair bit of time there.
Yeah.
That was important.
Yad Vashem?
Yeah, on the top of the mountain there. Yep. I would recommend that to everybody who goes. It's depressing and it's upsetting. I think I pretty much cried the entire time I was there.
Did you know there was recent statistics that 30% of high school students in the United States don't know what the Holocaust is today?
Which is sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty sad, and I think it's something that you know, while it's distressing while you're going through it and seeing, especially the children's memorial that was in, you know, 1.5 million children, you know, perished during the Holocaust, and you hear their stories, and you hear the stories too about the people who were you know, who helped Jews out, you know, and survive, and it was just such a moving thing to do. It was incredible, so I definitely recommend it to anybody. And obviously the other religious sites in Jerusalem, the Western Wall. I mean, that's the most sacred site for the Jewish people in the world.
Yep.
Being there and that sort of history of that, where further down you can go in and see the other side of the wall, which is where apparently the Ark of the Covenant was held.
Which will melt a Nazi's face, apparently.
Yeah.
You seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? It's a documentary. It's really good.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't watch that.
It's a series. And so just, you know, hearing about all those things as a kid, like from the films and being right there is such an incredible feeling.
Yeah, it's very moving. And for a non-believer like me, who grew up in a Lutheran household, which was also non-committed to any level of faith, it was still incredibly moving to walk around places and seeing how moved... And pilgrims are from all over the world. It's a scene out of the Star Wars cantina. There are people, every kind of look, every nun, every monk, every people wearing these religious robes, garbs, coverings and all these... Because they're going like full-on in their religious expression. Because for a lot of people, the pilgrimage is probably their only trip out of their country in their life.
Yeah.
And they could stay for 20-odd years for this kind of experience. People come from all over the world. It's fascinating.
Yeah, our office has some Catholic pilgrims there at the moment. And look, what I was quite interested about was everywhere they've gone, they're holding a private mass for the pilgrims, and one of them is it's the pilgrimage is called In the Footsteps of Jesus, and one of them is just going to places that Jesus worked and going out into the desert and having these masses in all of these fantastic places. But it is a very important event for most people in their lives,
and even just going into the room where the Last Supper was held and that sort of thing, that was pretty cool. You know,
it's really quite an austere room, isn't it? It feels like it should be something a bit more grand, but it's of its time. It was a room where 13 Jewish disciples of a person who wasn't yet recognized as Christian.
Yes.
Yep.
So there were a bunch of little Jewish men in a little room having a little meal. And then you go to this room and it's like, Leonardo painted this so much bigger.
Definitely. But it's also interesting,
too. They would not fit a table of 26 and all sit on one damn side.
I was like, where were they? How do you set a table for that? Yeah. But it's also interesting, too, where you could see the Byzantine. But the Byzantine and the Roman ruins as well. Mm. I mean, it was just, you're looking at all these different eras of history. And it's just... It's just a history book, really.
Now, Ted, I've noticed that you're wearing some lovely, gorgeous pineapple top and you've got some wonderful bling all over you at the moment. So is it a great place for us homosexies to go and shop and make the
most... In Israel?
Yes.
Yeah, I bought this ring in Israel.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful gold ring.
It's funny because you can get your VAT tax back afterwards, right? And... you go with your receipts and all that, and you know I tend to spend a bit sometimes shopping, so I had a bit to get back, and a friend of mine, he was traveling with me, he, you know, was going through and was saying that. And the lady said to him, she's like, oh, you really expect Jews to give you back money? This is the lady at the VAT counter. You know, it was funny.
Anti-Semitic.
No, but she was, yeah, exactly. It was just
self-deprecation,
funny.
Anti-Semitism.
Yeah. I liked that.
It's very meta.
Yeah.
Did you see the vast difference between the Palestinians and the Jewish people? Is that?
Do you know what? It's interesting because, like, in Tel Aviv in particular, there's the Jewish section and Yaffa or Jaffa, however you choose to pronounce it. That's the Arab part of it. Everyone gets along fine. Do you know what I mean? There's no, you really see no difference other than the style of food a little bit and
yeah, it's the reclaimed territories and Bethlehem and Jerusalem.
Well, Bethlehem didn't get to Bethlehem.
Well, you can't cross through borders.
Yeah, the locals can't get into Bethlehem. Obviously, went past the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Didn't get into them, but that's where you had the security checks, and you could see that level of security change there.
And the wall.
Yeah. So that. Seeing that was something I wanted to see because, again, my whole life I've heard about it. But you didn't actually see people trying to get across and not getting across, that sort of thing. I mean, I know the Palestinians are not allowed to drive into Israel. You either have to take a bus or
Yeah, you
or
need
train.
An Israeli... there are two different number plates. So
yes.
People who are from the Jewish-Israeli side...
Yeah.
Or the Israeli, non-Palestinian Israeli yeah. side have a different kind of passport.
That's right.
Number plate, and you can travel freely.
Right.
If you've got a Palestinian number plate, you have to go through the checkpoint. So when I travelled from Jerusalem through Bethlehem and around the area and back,
yep.
we were in one of the cars, and it was a Christian Arab Israeli tour guy that I had.
Yeah.
His name was Sam, and he drove around and he was like, why are we missing all this queue up? And he said, oh, I've got the right plates. I speak Arabic, I speak Hebrew, I speak Yiddish, and I speak English.
And they have to have a work permit.
Yeah.
You have to be there for work, or else you just can't cross over.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is the Escape Hour with Mark, Tad, Russ and Tess, and we have the fabulous
Stefan
on the I was going to say the keyboard
on the whirly
the keyboards.
We've got a fabulous message in from Peter who'd like some more information about Iran and Kurdistan, and we'll be able to help you with that later in the year when we do our Iran show.
Yeah.
Just but finishing up with Tad today with Israel. Now, Tad,
yeah.
One question while we've got yep. the gorgeous Tess with us today. How do you think a woman would go travelling alone? Would that be somewhere you would recommend Tess
Absolutely.
To go to? No problems at all?
Not at all. I think that's something, you know, like I said, I think security within Israel was so good.
Mm.
And it's not a situation where, you know, women are treated differently than men or anything like that.
Well, the women are quite involved in their army, aren't they?
Yeah. Women are in the army for sure.
Yeah.
They're at the checkpoints.
They do their 2 years like everyone else.
Yeah. Mm. And you know, LGBTI people are in the army as well.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has to do the army for 2 or 3 years, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do.
Used to
yeah.
Two. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's two.
You'd make a good G.I. Jane,
Ooh.
I think, Tess.
Oh,
yeah.
Shave your head off.
The push-ups I do.
You do?
Yeah.
I saw them
kick some ass, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you could only see me do them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, Ted, are you a roller or a folder, please?
We're talking about packing clothes. He never lets you know because people think it means toilet paper.
Well, let me just say, no.
That's what I
kind of knew what he was talking about. Well, that's one thing. I'm a folder, okay?
Yeah.
And the one thing that annoyed me the most is you spend a lot of time packing your damn suitcase and then when security goes through it and don't put it back where they found it, nah.
Yeah, they're annoying. All scrunches.
Yeah.
Security scrunches.
Yeah, exactly. So
just imagine you lining them up and telling them off.
Did you have a tangy and say, I'm not...
Well, I did say, are you going to put it back the way you found it?
Yeah, exactly.
No, because I've got those cubes, you know, yeah. folded nicely and, you know.
Now, I can tell you that at this point in time, you cannot get married in Israel.
No.
If you're into same-sex marriage,
yeah.
which we all are.
Yeah.
And so that's unfortunate. They do have very high rights there for our community, but you certainly can't get married.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.